Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Does it make you angry when people talk about, you know, Sean Penn, the Hollywood star, the movie star, coming in and trying to do something and they're kind of cynical about it?
Do I hope that those people die screaming of rectal cancer? Yeah.
Every day, this elected leader is called a dictator here, and we just accept it and accept it. And this is mainstream media who should, truly, there should be a bar by which they... one goes to prison for these kinds of lies.
From among the five gifted nominees tonight,
that was Sean Penn saying that anybody who calls Hugo Chavez a dictator should go to prison. There's what liberalism has become in the United States of America. It's not bad enough that we have a naked imposter, socialist, Marxist, Leninist, whatever you want to call them, in the White House. We have absolute lunatic fascist maniacs in Hollywood. Now, we've all known Hollywood's long been short on brains and long on brawn, but we have never, ever in our life heard from an America hater like Sean Penn. Here is a man who says he cannot understand how anybody would criticize Chavez, and those in the media who call Chavez a dictator should be jailed. He then supports Fidel Castro, the mass murderer. It's astounding that you people put up with this, but hey, at this stage of America and where we have fallen as a result of the media itself, I'm not surprised. So let's play Blue Monday on the Savage Nation, and we'll begin the show right there.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday?
Welcome
got
to the program,
work, Blue Monday. Black sleeve on Blue Monday. Monday. Here come Tuesday, oh, Tuesday. I'm so tired,
our
got no
fat.
Time.
Thank you very much. Now, why would Sean Penn hope critics of his work should die screaming of rectal cancer? Can anyone posit an idea why he's obsessed with that portion of the anatomy, number one? And number two, why would a so-called liberal say that people should go to prison for criticizing Hugo Chavez? And number three, don't call me on it because the answer can be found in a certain white powder, as far as I'm concerned. This very same schmuck goes on a show on HBO with another loser from Sunset Boulevard, another drugged-up loser, in my opinion, and they joke about buying drugs wholesale from Chavez or from Castro. If that doesn't answer the questions that you're asking, then you have no right to ask any questions. Do you understand this? Speaking of the Oscars, as you know, I'm not a big fan of Hollywood. I'm a big fan of movies. Now you say, gee, that sounds odd. No, you could like Muslims and not, you know, necessarily like the conquest of Islam. So I like the product. I just don't like the people who make the product. And so I watch a lot of movies. I just can't stand the people in Hollywood, except the ones I've met who I like. But I watched the Oscars. I had to for the show, you understand, a little bit. And I could take it just, you know, like a little bit at a time. It's like eating poison. A slow amount won't kill you if you ingest it a small amount at a time. And it got worse and worse and worse. Every award went to a marginal group. Every award went to a PC group. Every award was for some movie that was anti-American, anti-military, or anti-family. How can an industry like this survive, I ask myself. Answer, because the American people deserve it. And so don't call me about the Oscars. What graded you the most about the Oscar show? What was the most mawkish, who was the most mawkish woman at the event? Which Hollywood actress wore the most screamingly ugly dress? And should they have allowed the child abuser Alec Baldwin to co-host the Oscars? I mean, how much more do you need to know than a guy who abused his own daughter verbally is allowed to host the Oscars without a person in the media saying, hey, he abused his daughter verbally, why is he up there? Because that's the exact image that the Oscars deserve. Now, I'm pointedly avoiding the big story. The big story is healthcare, not healthcare. Drudge has a typo, healthcare, he calls it. Even the great Matt Drudge makes mistakes. Where he says, embattled Dem congressman says I was pushed out for health care, H-E-A-L-T. Unless there's a different program that I don't know anything about. I've been focused on health care. Maybe there's another plan Obama has for health care. I don't know what health care is. But I am showering naked as a jaybird, and here comes Rahm Emanuel, not even with a towel wrapped around his tush, poking his finger in my chest, yelling at me. There's your America today. There's your America today with a thug from Chicago, a backroom brawler running America, a man who this congressman says would sell his mother, and he's the son of the devil's spawn. That's what's running America today. That's what's running the United States of America. You're not interested in any of this. Is anyone interested in anything I'm saying? I mean, why does Buddy get up every day and go on the air if you're not calling and you're not excited by what I said? All right, we'll talk about something else. That's all. We will now move on to a study that just came out on sleep. This is astounding. A group called the National Sleep Foundation, the NSF, probably a front for a mattress group for all I know, says that each ethnic group sleeps differently. Most African Americans like to pray just before they sleep it. White Americans like to do it with their pets, and Asians tend to do it best, meaning sleep. So whites sleep with dogs and cats. Asians sleep better than anybody else, according to these people. And it says African Americans like to pray just before they go to sleep. The NSF surveyed 1,007 adults aged 25 to 60 for the annual poll. I never sleep well. I never have a good night's sleep, so where do I fit in? Who said sleep is important? See, you know, you got to understand how much of this is fear. All your life you've been told, eat this and you'll die. Ingest that and you'll die. The water you drink is poisoned by bottled water. The air you breathe is poisonous to kill you and your children and ruin your gonads. Now they're telling you that if you don't sleep, you're going to drop dead. So again, what is it all telling you? Go to the either Big Daddy government. Obama's going to make your food cleaner, your air cleaner, your water cleaner, and you're going to sleep better if you vote for Obama. The man can even affect your sex life, if you were to believe any of this. I actually believe I'm a contrarian when it comes to sleep. I mean, it's good if you can get it. But I've come to understand you don't really need sleep. Not much of it anyway. We need much less sleep than we think we need. Look at what men can do in combat when they have to. Look at what people have to do when they hold down three jobs when they really have to. Look what you did when you were into sex, drugs, and rock and roll, how little sleep you can get away with them compared to now. You really think you need 9 hours in a bed? What for? I mean, if I lay down and sleep, I know it's coming. It's either going to be me as an ancient Mayan with my face painted with various dyes, cutting someone's heart out and rolling them down a pyramid, usually my business enemies, or it's me at Heathrow Airport trapped and I can't get home. I don't know which is worse. Me as an ancient Mayan cutting out someone's heart. No, I'm joking. I never had that dream. Or the repetitive dream of me being trapped in Heathrow. I don't really understand that. 10 years now, I've been dreaming I'm trapped at Heathrow. It's symbolic because I'm trapped at Heathrow, in essence, because I'm banned in Britain. This is amazing how people don't care about anything anymore. Really, it's amazing. Well, we got a commie in the White House, that's all. And they're happy now. They're happy now. He put an H in there. Thanks, Matt, or whoever's posting it. Embattled Dem congressman, I was pushed out for health care. See, they put an H in because I said it. See, I know who's listening to this show. Ron would sell his own mother's son. Did you hear this or not? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? What do you think? I'm just making this stuff up? There is a congressman who was forced to resign named Eric Massa. And the reason is that they blackmailed him, saying that if they didn't throw him out, if he didn't get out because he wouldn't support the criminals who want the health care reform, the gang that wants to steal the health care industry for their own private gain, the gang in the White House that wants to steal health care, insurance care, ambulance services, drug services, you name it. You know, there's trillions of dollars involved. What do you think it's because it's for you? Trillions of dollars are going to go into their pockets and the dockets there. So Rahm Emanuel says to him, get out, or we're going to release this information about you coming on to a male staffer at a wedding. Now, there's a couple of complexities in this. First of all, I thought Rahm Emanuel was in favor of gays in the military and that gay is good. So if gay is good, why is it bad for him to have tussled a male aide's hair? That's number one. So in other words, they use it either way. So gay is good if you want to push something, and gay is bad if you want to push someone out? Is that what they're doing here? That's the kind of country you want to live in? My God, did you ever think it would get this bad? Now, again, before I take a break from this incredible opening of The Savage Nation, I want to play something you probably missed at the beginning of it on the Savage Nation. Here is the psychopath, in my opinion, the sickest man in the history of Hollywood, one of the illest men in the history of the media, Sean Penn, who is supporting naked murderers and dictators and saying that anyone in the media who calls Chavez a dictator should go to prison. Listen to clip four again in case you missed it. Listen.
Every day, this elected leader is called a dictator here, and we just accept it and accept it. This is mainstream media who should truly, there should be a bar by which one goes to prison for these kinds of lies.
Now, how would you explain this pencil-headed moron saying that A, Chavez is not a dictator, and B, that anyone who criticizes him should go to prison for these kinds of lies? Are you embarrassed by liberalism? Are you willing to step forward and admit to me that liberalism is a mental disorder? Because I'm willing to accept your apologies right now. I'll be right back.
Savage.
He has more than a dirty mouth. He has Rahm Emanuel is son of the devil spawn. He is an individual who would sell his mother to get a vote. He would strap his children to a front end of a steam locomotive. And if he doesn't like that, he can come after me personally.
So there it is. That's a Democrat congressman thrown out of Congress, being blackmailed on an alleged thing with a gay. This, I don't understand how they could do this to a guy. He didn't do anything. Let's say he said something at a wedding. Is that a reason to throw a congressman out for a thing like that? One word? No, there's much more at stake here. They're blackmailing him with something. And if you want the tactics of a banana republic in the White House, you don't have to vote for anyone else but Obama, Rahm Emanuel, and David Axelrod. You now have the lowest dregs of humanity running America, in the opinion of millions and millions of Americans who know what's going on. Millions of Americans know what's going on. Look, if I were alone, in my opinion, I wouldn't be on the radio. I wouldn't have lasted these 16 years. And my birthday in radio is March 20th. I have my sweet 16 in radio. I keep getting up. I get on the air. I do my show. Some days I'm up. Some days I'm down. Some days I'm up and down. Some days I'm down and down. Some days I'm up and up. I'm always up and up. But I mean, you know. I'm always on the up and up. Watching a lot. I think I'm going to ramble for a while. I do a better show when I ramble. Play the next soundbite while I ramble in my head, then I'll come.
Let me tell
you
a story about Rahm Emanuel. I was a congressman in my first 8 weeks, and I was in the congressional gym, and I went down and worked out. I went into the showers, and I'm sitting there showering, naked as a jaybird, and here comes Rahm Emanuel, not even with a towel wrapped around his tush, poking his finger in my chest, yelling at me because I wasn't going to vote for the president's budget. Do you know how awkward it is to have a political argument with a naked man?
Well, I'll let that go. No, I don't. I have never had a political argument with a naked man. That's something I could say I've never done, nor do I ever want to try it. That is definitely something I do not look forward to. I want to go back to the sleep story for a minute. It's bothering me a minute. Each ethnic group sleeps differently. It says most African Americans like to pray just before they sleep. White Americans like to sleep with their pets. That says a lot right there. And Asians tend to sleep the best. And Hispanics fret about work just before falling asleep. It's the 2010 Sleep in America poll released today by the National Sleep Foundation. And that sleep habits differ depending on what ethnic group you belong to. African Americans, they say, have the busiest bedtime routine. Three quarters said they watch television the hour before going to bed. So do I. So that means I'm African American. And only slightly fewer, 71%, said they prayed. I pray every night, too. I pray about six times a day. I don't mean on a prayer rug, not to Mecca. I don't need a rug. I don't even get on my knees. I say to God, I say, "Oh God, oh God." Don't you say that sometimes to God? God, if only. Don't you talk to God? I talk to him all day long. He hasn't answered yet, but I ask. Every day I ask. As my parents said, there's no harm in asking. I ask. Doesn't mean he's going to answer. He did answer my prayers, but he's quiet. I don't understand that part about he's silent. Doesn't he answers your prayers, but he doesn't talk to you, unless you're Jimmy Carter and you're on a certain kind of fluid that they sell in Georgia. He generally doesn't answer you. But if you drink that liquid and then wave a snake over your head, maybe it's from the Billy Beer, but he said he spoke to God himself personally in a living room on a couch in white. Only 18% of Asians, one-third of whites, and just a half said they prayed before going to bed. 1 in 10 African-American Hispanics said they had sex every night. I want to go over that again. 1 in 10 African-Americans and Hispanics said they had sex every night. What? Every night? That's 7 nights a week, which is 10 times more than Asians. Let me see if I can do the math. So, 10 times more than Asians. Wait, if 1 in 10 African-Americans said they had sex every night, and that is 10 times more than Asians, the question on your IQ test is, how many times a week do Asians have sex? Wouldn't that be interesting? If 1 in 10 African-Americans and Hispanics said they had sex every night, and that is 10 times more than Asians, then how many times a year do Asians have sex? That would be on an IQ test. 85% of Asians said they had a good night's sleep at least a few nights or more a week. It must be the tofu. And most of them did it without sleep aids. Only 5% of Asians said they used a sleep medication, compared with 13% of whites, 9% of blacks, and 8% of Hispanics. You use sleep medication? I don't. I tried one once. I took one of those sleepers. What are they called? Ambien. I remember I was in Las Vegas. I had a condo there for a while. I went there. I had a condo for 5 years. I went there 3 times. I hope Oscar's not listening, the mayor of Las Vegas. He'll put me in the bad category. But conventions, I go there. It was across from the Hilton where Elvis performed. I enjoyed the area. It was very nice. I liked it. Whatever. So I couldn't sleep. I can't sleep when I travel because I took an Ambien. It was astounding. I sat on the bed in my clothing, took an Ambien, and woke up in my clothing the next morning. I never took an Ambien again because I don't know what else I did. See, I have no idea. They say, well, you know, what happens in Vegas, et cetera. I don't know where I was. You know, maybe I did a sleepwalk job. What do I know where I was? It could have been me in the gym with him having a political argument. How would I know? I don't know where I was that night. So I don't like anything which knocks me out. I'd rather have dreams every night than my face is painted and I'm on top of a pyramid in Maya land.
Savage.
When I voted against the cap and trade bill, the phone rang and it was the chief of staff to the President of the United States of America, Rahm Emanuel. And he started swearing at me in terms and words that I hadn't heard since that crossing the line ceremony on the USS New Jersey in 1983. And I gave it right back to him in terms and words that I know are physically impossible. I told him to do things that I know the human anatomy cannot do.
No wonder they got rid of Massa. He stood up to the thug from Chicago. There's an article that I linked up on Savage.com from the Telegraph, The End of the Road for Barack Obama, by Simon Heffer. So Heffer says about a couple of things I thought were interesting, worth sharing with you on the Savage Nation. He says, Obama's big problem, a senior Democrat told me, is that 4 times as many people watch Fox News as watch CNN. The Fox network is a remarkable cultural phenomenon which almost shocks those of us from a country where a technical rule of impartiality is applied in the broadcast media. With little rest, it pours outrage 24 hours a day, which is nonsense. Its message is of the construction of the socialist state, true. The hijacking of America by progressives, who now dominate institutions, true. The indoctrination of children, true. The undermining of religion, true. And the expropriation of public money for these nefarious projects, true. The public loves it, and it is manifestly stirring up political activism against Mr. Obama. Blah, blah, blah. Now he goes on. Listen to this. It talks about how the media fawned over Obama and how they put the brakes on now. And it says, but the attack is being directed not at Obama himself, but at those around him. There was much unconditional love a year or so ago of Rahm Emanuel, he writes, Mr. Obama's chief of staff, oleaginous profiles of this Chicago political hack, a veteran of that unlovely team that polluted the Clinton White House, appeared in otherwise respectable journals, praising the combination of his religious devotion, his family man image, his ruthless operating technique, and his command of the vocabulary of profanity. Now supporters of the president are blaming Mr. Emanuel for the failure of the Obama project, not least for his inability to construct a deal on health care. And they go on, and then they talk about the other wonderful prize from the Lower East Side of New York, Axelrod. Axelrod, the pickle man who's now running America, along with Emanuel. So you have an Israeli and a pickle man running America, advising Obama of how to best push socialism forward. Now, both of them are now being targeted by the left-wing media to throw them out. In other words, in order to spare Obama, they're going to get rid of his chief lieutenants, Axelrod and Emanuel, are now lining them up. Because we're hearing the rumors every day. Axelrod now, a puff piece in the New York Times about how he really only wanted the job for 2 years and that no one should stay longer than 2 years and he's done what he can do and how he loves Obama. Then we hear that Rahm Emanuel really always wanted to be mayor of Chicago, but they're not quite ready for him yet, and Daley's brother may run. So in other words, they're getting us ready to hear that they've both been thrown out. They won't say thrown out, but they're going to, like, move on. It's like when you used to call someone and they wouldn't take the phone call and his dumb secretary would say he's just stepped out. What does that mean, just stepped out? Just stepped out. Okay, you know what that means, stepped out. So things are changing in America. Things are changing in America. Old Obama couldn't get it done. It's like old King Cole had a merry old soul. A merry old soul was he. What's the fable about the egg on the wall? Humpty Dumpty. Obama's like Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put old Humpty together again. I think that's what's going on here. If he cannot railroad Obamacare through, his presidency is nullified. It's over. And that's what's at stake here. And that's why you have to fight it at every turn. Everything you have in you. And if they do ramrod it or railroad it through blackmail, which is what they just did to this guy Massa, then you're going to use techniques that they're not equipped for. 10 million lawsuits will stop Obamacare, as sure as I'm sitting here, and you're going to sue based upon my brilliant strategy of using religious beliefs to opt out of Obamacare. Because if they've given it to Christian Scientists, the right not to buy Obamacare policies, which they have, I actually found that. No one in the media is responding to the fact that I discovered that. I know it's boring, blah, 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 but you want to deal with reality or you want to just have a good time? I could do both. You want reality or do you want playtime? You want to be in my sandbox and throw sand around? We can do that. Or do you want to sit here and strategize how to defeat the socialists? We can do that as well. Either way, I can go either way. I can pulse either way. It doesn't matter to me. So we'll go both ways now, whatever you want to do. AC, DC, foot power, mentally, whatever you want. I still don't understand why Sean Penn's obsessed with the rectal cancer thing. Why would he say that his critics should die screaming of rectal cancer on CBS and she laughs at that and she's not fired? I mean, he's like worse than Dan Rather. Where is Dan Rather now that we don't need him? I was thinking, why did I think about him? I was in the bathroom this morning having a rough time of it. And for some reason, Dan Rather came to mind. I can't figure that one out. I thought back about how he fell from grace so quickly, how it happens in this country. You hear 1 minute, you're gone the next minute in politics and the media. I mean, I've had it happen to me. You know, in some regards, you know that. But to think about Dan Rather, he was once... Shut up. He was once one of the voices of America, right? Every night you had to listen to that schmuck from Texas. Never understood why he was from Texas. That was the number one. He was so not from Texas, Dan Rather. He was so from NYU, but there he was from Texas. But anyway, so Dan Rather, he's at the top of the heap. The next minute he's gone because he did something about Bush? What was it, that Bush didn't fly in the National Guard? Was that brought him down, Beowulf, if I remember correctly? He said Bush didn't fly in the National Guard? That's what brought him down? That's the biggest crime he ever committed for that? Take a look at what goes on now on network news. That would be considered honesty by today's comparison. Did Bush fly in the National Guard? He did, didn't he? I think he flew. Didn't he? Flew. They showed him once. At least he tried to fly. Let's say he tried. He wore the suit. He did fly in the National Guard. It's not easy to do. Why'd they make that an issue? I don't understand that. Why that was an issue. Obama never even fired a Daisy BB gun. So by comparison, did Bush fly in the National Guard? Let's say he did or he didn't. Obama never fired a BB gun. He's in charge of the most powerful military in the world. It's like Dianne Feinstein, chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. You ever have a laughable nation like ours? Dianne Feinstein, gun grabber, in charge of the Senate Intelligence Committee. And who's on the other with her? The schmuck genius from Michigan, Carl Levin, with the glasses on the edge of his nose, another genius. If a car backfires near him, he has to run out and buy a box of Depends. He's also on the Intelligence Committee. No wonder they're laughing at us in Krapistan. All our enemies in Crapistan. No wonder they're laughing. Take a look at the ninnies on the intelligence committees. And the defense secretary and the joint chiefs of staff, they're like Stepford wives to Obama. Whatever Obama says, they're like two Stepford wives. Robert Gates, Stepford wife one, and the other one. The guy with the very big voice, whose parents were PR agents in Hollywood. Admiral Mullen. Yeah, hello, saludo, muchacho amigo. Admiral Mullen, the man who could never fire a shot in anger, is in charge of the entire military. So Obama says thing right away, yes, I want to do it. Right away, the two Stepford wives. And 2 weeks later, the Marines say no. The Army says no. Everyone says no, but the two Stepford wives went along with it. One of them's out of the country. The other one's disappeared altogether. Probably coming back from the Oscars on a bender. Probably went there in mufti. No one even knows he was there, probably. Went in an usher's uniform. Yeah, very close to the uniform he wears. So I say, these guys in the caves, no wonder they're laughing at us. You take a look, Dianne Feinstein, Select Intelligence Committee Chairman. This is a woman who spent her entire life trying to seize guns from Americans. Carl Levin, another genius. Wait, there's the other one, the congresswoman. What's her? The one from San Diego. Jane Harmon, another one, a gun grabber. They're all in charge of intelligence now. Remember that thing about Valerie Plame? They made a big issue. Ooh, someone said she was a CIA agent. Oh, they went crazy. The left-wing fanatic vermin went nuts. Oh, you outed Valerie Plame, blah, blah, blah. First of all, she was never in danger because she was not a field agent. That's number one. But according to the vermin in the left wing in America, which is a pretty big company, it's a large audience of vermin, let me tell you. They went crazy over the Valerie Plame story, right? Oh, it was horrible. You risked her life. Then she appeared all of a sudden everywhere she appeared already. All the circuits, there she was. Blondie was everywhere. She's a movie star already. Profited off the day. They almost killed her, but she was a movie star the next day. Now we find out that under Eric Holder, the man who never met a terrorist he didn't like, Eric Holder, attorney general who released six Puerto Rican terrorists when he worked for Clinton, is now the attorney general, the chief law enforcement officer in America. Eric Holder's Justice Department has lawyers from the radical left who have outed the names of CIA interrogators, given their names out, putting them and their families in danger, and the media supports that. They call it the American way. They're actually backing that up. That's the country you live in, under Barack Hussein Obama. I didn't say Barack Jesus Obama. I said Barack Hussein Obama. I said Barack Hussein Obama. Many people fear he's playing for the other side. I don't think you saw this. You see, I watch the news about 24 hours a day. I don't know. I become fanatic with it. Right after I got off the air, over the weekend rather, I couldn't believe what I read. Obama passed an initiative like in the middle of the night, putting together something to do with Islamic countries, a business connection to Islamic organizations. And you read it and you say, money will go from America to groups in Islam, including organizations. Like which organizations? The Muslim Brotherhood? I said to myself, how can this guy get away with this? Answer, because of the vermin in the media. Wherever you turn, either they're asleep or they're absolutely collaborating with the enemy. And now you can see why I'm the most popular non-guest in the history of the American media. Now you can see why I'm never invited on Fox News. Now you can see why I'm a man alone. Now you can see why the New Yorker called me a party of one. Now you can see why the big interview is coming up in May. Donald Trump was interviewed by this magazine. George Carlin. Politically, I'm sure they're different than me. Even Robert Redford, I don't think he has politics. He was interviewed by the magazine, and now me, I'm in that company. He says, oh, big deal. Yeah, big deal. You try. Let's see when you're going to be interviewed by the New Yorker or this magazine. Yes, it's a big deal. Yes, people listen to me. Yes, my opinions count. And you know I'm right. That's the absolute truth. So don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, because of vermin in the media. This country is in the saddest state it has ever been in. And unless we have a political revolution in this country throwing out these Marxists, this country, you can kiss it goodbye. You can kiss it goodbye when you kiss your daughter to sleep tonight. Yes, they are communists. Yes, they are Marxists. Yes, they are proto-Muslims. And yes, they are putting us all in danger. That's my humble opinion. And I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it. And yes, I stand by those words as sure as I'm standing here. I've been on this earth a long time. I've lived through many presidents. I go back to the Eisenhower years, meaning as a kid. I've seen presidents come. I've seen presidents go. I've seen them. I've listened to them. I've watched them. I've been studying them. I have a strong opinion. I'm entitled to my opinion. And trust me, it's an educated opinion. It's based upon a lot of reading and a lot of digging and a lot of intelligence. And I am telling you that, in my opinion, we've never had a man like this in the White House surrounded by so many scoundrels and outright traitors working for the other side. I'll be right back.
I've had union leaders tell me point blank, we are not going to contribute to your campaign unless you vote for this health care bill. Is that or is that not a bribe? At the heart of everything we face in this country today, at the heart of the destruction of our democracy, at the heart of our inability to solve our problems, at the heart of the inability for us to actually pass to the next generation of Americans something greater than we received from our parents, is the incredible corruption of money in politics today. It makes me weep when I realize our nation is being destroyed from within.
That is Eric Massa, Democrat congressman, who was forced to resign today as a result of blackmail by Rahm Emanuel, according to everyone in the media. That's the country that Barack Obama brought to us to. That's the state that this country was brought to by Barack Obama. All of the dirty politics of Chicago are now running the country. And you say, well, what does it have to do with me? Just about everything. Just about everything, that's all. And if you want to talk about that, I mean, what can you say? What are you going to really say? Nah, there's nothing to say. Oscars you want to talk about? Eh. Boring. The dresses were horrendous. I mean, I like to look at dresses, but I don't know what it is. They're all looking frumpy. Did big become stylish now? Like, fat is in? It's not like many fat women are in. For a while, it was like the thin, you know, like the transsexual look was very big. The junky transsexual look. It seems like the Barbara Streisand look is now on the beamy side. I don't know what. Everyone likes something different. That's a cultural thing. The beamy woman is now in. What are all those skinny broads who are like on diets forever going to do now? They're like, they look emaciated by comparison. A lot of guys still like them. The dresses are horrendous. I think all the good designers died. All of the major guys are gone. And like they're really stylish designers. Like they're gone with the. Who was designing this stuff? It looks like stuff from rummage sales that they were wearing last night. Half these movies I would not see. I'm not going to go see an anti-war movie about bomb squads. I could watch like military history at night. Alice, why would I want to see him in drag? Like, what's the big deal about that? What's so good about a movie like that? Avatar, I'll never go to. Another one for children. If you have young children, you go to movies. That's all. What does a grown-up go to a movie theater for? What, do you need the flu? You want to hear an old lady coughing? Or you want to smell somebody that you can't stand sitting three rows ahead of you? You want to, like, you need popcorn. What do you think people eat popcorn for? Is to get away from the stink in the theater. I don't go to a theater. What do you need a theater for? What is the theater? How can it survive? We have a 50-inch screen, 60-inch screen, HD, 3D, 9D, HD, MyD, YourD, all aboard. We all have them in our bedroom. What the hell do you need a movie theater for? What, the diseases you're going to get? A filthy seat, the ticks you're going to get from the floor? You ever wonder about that when you're like the gummy floor and your feet are on it? Doesn't it ever bother you? Especially if like you're a little bit of a hippie. Like you go in the, like the senior citizen, the admission in the daytime, and there's like still leftover gum on the floor. Like a soda spilled. And you're wearing sandals because like Birkenstocks are still in your mind. Like you have Birkenstocks on your brain still. And it's like to show you're nonconformist, even though you're retired from the post office and you vote Democrat. You try to show that you're really an artist because that's what you once thought you were back when you were a kid. So you go to the movies at 12 o'clock to save $4. But the point is, when you sit there in your Birkenstock-like shoes and the floor is a little gooey from the soda spills that they don't clean up because they're saving on everything now, the movie, don't you worry about like bugs crawling into your sock. That's something that's going to be cleaned up under Obamacare. There's a clause in the Obamacare bill that says if you vote for it, Rahm Emanuel will personally make sure that movie theater floors are clean for senior citizens from Marin County to make certain that their Birkenstocks don't get dirty. That's what they actually thought would happen. Whatever happened to the Prius drivers with the superior virtue of the oppressed on their faces? They're not smiling anymore, huh? Where they go? All of the Toyota people. The brake pedal people. Lexus too? Also, was it Lexus one of the cars that was accelerating? Was it? I think it was also Lexus, right, or not? No, only Toyota what? Does anyone make a Datsun anymore? That was a big car for a while. Where did Datsun go? Didn't they change their name to something else, Datsun? They're called Nissan now? That's really a Datsun? Oh, when Nissan became, and Datsun became Nissan. It's like the old song, Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Same thing. Nissan once was Datsun. You see, you know, I could do a song like that if I was doing, if I was interested. I'm in a very weird mood. I don't know what it is. It could be like the scallops I ate last night. Something's odd. I got to admit, I'm focused, but I don't give a damn. I am focused on the world's problems, but I don't care. And I'll tell you why, because I know that we have gangsters running America. I feel good about that. I feel good knowing that criminal gangsters are running America. It makes me feel good. I sleep better at night. At least we all know it. At least the thinking people of America know that everyone in the media is lying to them, with rare exception. And virtually 99% of the people in politics are total crooks who are out only for themselves. I sleep better knowing at least the truth has come out. Could live with the truth. That's all. And we know that the healthcare thing is to rob the entire healthcare enterprise, to divide it up like the spoils. That's why the gang wants it. Do you know how much money there is in ambulances alone? You have any idea what kind of money Medicare pays to fake ambulance companies transporting bums that don't need sickness around? You know, remember a guy called, he said that in Israel, what was the country? The ambulance drivers are substituted as taxi drivers on the way to the hospital. They stop and give you, Russia, they're so corrupt that they, before the fall, that the ambulances would stop and pick passengers up so the driver could make some money on the side. Same in America. But instead of stopping to pick people up and being a taxi on the side, fundamentally they're using taxis and saying they're ambulances and collecting money from Medicare here. Same thing. By a different label. In other words, 99% of the ambulance rides are fake.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Let me tell you a story about Rahm Emanuel. I was a congressman in my first 8 weeks, and I was in the congressional gym, and I went down and worked out. I went into the showers, and I'm sitting there showering, naked as a jaybird, and here comes Rahm Emanuel, not even with a towel wrapped around his tush, poking his finger in my chest, yelling at me because I wasn't going to vote for the president's budget. Do you know how awkward it is to have a political argument with a naked man?
The entire nation has said, let's rewrite the health care bill. Let's find what we can agree upon. No. We're going to ram this down the throats of the American people, and anyone who stands in the way of doing that is going to be smeared, and they're going to be kicked out of Congress.
Blue Monday, how I eat Blue Monday.
There's a Democrat who cares about honor, integrity, and America. I play Blue Monday when you want to look up oligagonus?
I'm so tired, I'm so tired.
Oligonus. Oleomargarine. I never heard of that word. I can't even find it. Oligonus. Here it is. Oleaginous. Oh, oily. Adjective oily. So he called Rahm Emanuel oily. Oleaginous. Oleaginous. Not like old Agnes. All agonists. Well, we heard that the last administration went to war for oil, and now since they're calling Rahm Emanuel all agonists, we can say that Rahm Emanuel goes to war because he is all agonists. He goes to war because he is oily? That's it. No, Bush went to war for oil, and Rahm Emanuel goes to war because he is oil. E. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Something along those lines. Illinois, Eddie, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
It's an honor to speak to you again, sir. You're like a lighthouse in a treacherous storm that is America.
Who was the name of the Greek, the fable, the Greek guy with the lantern who holds the light in the middle of the dark?
Honestly, I have no idea.
I do. Who is it? Diogenes. Diogenes held a lamp and a light. But the fact of the matter is you don't want to use anything to do with Greek today because they're bankrupt. You hear what the Germans said about the Greeks over the weekend? They said to the Greeks, get up earlier, you'll solve your problems. I agree with them. They're lazy. In other words, the Mediterraneans, basically, what do you think they live so long? They don't work. They collect money from Germany. So what's on your mind today?
My point is, I didn't know if you know this or not, Rahm Emanuel is a dual citizen, former Israeli, and he's also a former member of Mossad and a communist. And the communists have dirt on both parties, and they blackmail both parties.
Wait, now you're jumping. I know that he's a former, I know his father was a member of one of the original groups that formed Israel, either the Irgun or the Palmach, one of the phenomenal fighting groups that did some horrible things in the early days of Israel. I know that he himself was born in Israel, but how can you say he's a member of Mossad?
He's a former member of Mossad. I mean, it's like being a former member of the CIA, but he's an ardent communist.
And hold on. Let's say you're correct, and I don't know if you are. How can you leap from Mossad to communism?
Well, he's a devout communist, but I'm saying he was a former member of Mossad.
But how do you know he's a devout communist? Where in his past was he a communist or a socialist? That's what I'd like to know.
I have a friend who's a communist, and they're buddies. They meet at meetings. I mean, they're communists. And as you know, the communists...
Well, friend, we may sound like, you know, we're friends, but we're not. I mean, this is a radio show. You're making an accusation about one of the top people in the United States of America.
Well, I mean, most of it...
Why do we have to go as far as to say devout communist Mossad when the guy's trying to railroad a bill that most Americans don't want? Can't we leave it at that? And he's smearing this guy Massa with implications that he sort of did something gay?
Well, the communists use blackmail quite often, and they have dirt on both sides.
Oh, the Democrats don't?
Of course they do, but they...
All right, let's have a laugh track. Give me the laugh track. That's what we're going to have to do here. Let's go back to the Friday show, guys. Get the laugh track. We played with that on... Remember we played with it the last show? Now we're going to have fun. I played with laugh tracks to show you how funny can be. Let us do this. Let us play. I'm not going to tell you who it is. Let us hear clip 4 with a laugh track behind it.
This elected leader is called a dictator here, and we just accept it and accept it. This is mainstream media who should truly, should be a bar by which one goes to prison for these kinds of things.
See? You see what I'm saying? In other words, you laugh at Sean Penn. You realize that whatever he has imbibed, let's say whatever it is, legal or illegal, whatever he's taken in has reached a point of saturation where he doesn't know what he's saying. He sounds like Jimi Hendrix in his last month to me. That's how crazy with power they become. He doesn't understand how crazy he sounds. He's saying that a dictator like Chavez, not only is he not a dictator, anyone who says he is should go to jail. You hear this? And the media supports him? Play the laugh track. Now you put it on me. Now it'll be a parody of what I said. Let's see. I'll try another one to show you how it works. Let's play. Do we have one with Barbara Streisand? Yeah, here it is. Play clip 21 with a laugh track after it.
From among the 5 gifted nominees tonight, the winner could be, for the first time, a woman. Or it could be, also for the first time, an African-American.
See, the reason this is hilarious is that she doesn't even understand how stupid she sounds. She didn't talk about the movie, the quality of the movie, what the movie was, why it should win. Now she's talking about a woman or an African-American because she's saying affirmative action has finally come to Hollywood. And therefore, we must give an award to a woman or an African-American, irrespective of the product. Irrespective of the movie, it should go to a woman or an African-American. Play a laugh track. I'll play clip 22 with a laugh track.
And the winner is, well, the time has come, Catherine Bigelow.
Mm-hmm. Now play Sandra. I'm not a big Sandra Bullock fan. There's something about her face that doesn't turn me on. She has like too much of a horsey look. Let me see if I can put my finger on it. There's such better looking women than Sandra Bullock. Acting, forget about it. She can't act. Nothing. The woman, you know who really is a good actress? She won nothing. Who was my favorite? There's a couple of them. I think they're British. No, they're Australian. You got to help me with that. I can't remember their names. That's the problem. Maybe that's why they're not, you know, winning Oscars or anything. Nah, Nicole Kidman, you know, her time has come. She was good in the movie with the guy, like the knife in his mouth with the boat. The lunatic with it comes up on the boat. Remember when she first appeared on the screen? She was stunning. That was like dead calm. That was like 500 years ago. I think that's when Eisenhower was president. Dead calm came out. But who is the one I'm saying? She was with the guy. There's another actor. Never wins anything. He's the best actor in Hollywood. You talk about acting? I can't again. I'm drawing a blank. Because they're not that important to me. They're entertainers. They're marionettes to me. But I know that. Who? Kate Blanchett, fabulous, top two. Kate Blanchett, top two, wins nothing. Then there was the Australia woman with the motorcycle, with the guy who played the Russian gangster in England, who was really a policeman in the fight inside the bathhouse with the Russians. Not totally believable. And he was naked in a bathhouse, talking about Rahm Emanuel. That's why Naomi Watts, she wasn't naked in that scene. He was. What's his name? Never wins anything. You don't remember his name? Come on, bail me out of this. The skinny guy had that tattoos like this from jail on him. Viggo Mortensen. First of all, his name inhibits him winning an award. Because Americans can't pronounce anyone with more than two syllables in their last name. That's number one. Because the average intelligence of the American moviegoer, it has to be like John Smith, John Wayne, you know what I mean? Burt Rogers. It can't be more than that. Morgenstern, Vito, and Vito, foreigner. He sounds like a communist. I'm sure he isn't, I'm saying, but the name, immediately you can't win with a foreign name like that. He should have changed his name to something dramatic like, who's that guy who always plays like macho men and you know he isn't? With like a fake wife marriage, you know, those allegations. Tom Cruise, right, Tom Cruise, yeah. Real macho guy, Tom Cruise, real macho guy. He did a good movie, Born on the 4th of July, I admit that. Never did another movie that I watched since. You think I'm going to go see Inglourious Bastards? It sounds like an uncle I once had pronounced it like that. Why would I go see a movie like that? I mean, what a bad title. Why do you want to see a movie about fake heroes killing fake Nazis when their real heroes are killed real Nazis who no one pays attention to? Why am I going to see that schmeckle, Tom Cruise playing a hero, blew up Hitler's foot, when the real guy, you don't even know who it was. You never heard his name. It was not Vito Morgenstern's grandfather either. But what I'm getting at is he can act. He can act. And he, in that movie, what was the name of the movie? You get the name of that, you get a free prize tonight, Phil. Vito Morgenstern and Naomi Watts were in that movie. Eastern Promises, great movie, should have won awards, but didn't. Why? Because it wasn't directed by a woman or an African American. That's number one. Two, it wasn't a politically correct theme. Number two. Number three, it had real acting, which makes idiots who can't act look bad. Number four, neither of them are stoners, which makes Sean Penn look bad. So therefore, that's how that worked. But that movie was amazing. But she's a terrific actress, Naomi Watts, and so is the other one who I mentioned, Kate Blanchett. Two of my favorite. They don't win anything. They don't win. Why they don't win, I don't know. I have no idea why they don't win. Because what does acting have to do with winning awards? I mean, it's like the Marconi Awards in radio. Did I ever get one? I'm clearly the best person in the history of talk radio. When I'm gone, no one will be like me ever. I know it. I know I'm the best. I know it. You know it. Everyone who listens knows it. It doesn't mean you have to agree with me, but you know I'm the best ever in the history of radio. The best in talk radio. Number one. Did I ever get a Marconi Award? No. A guy who wears a Hawaiian shirt and has BO gets the Marconi Award every year. Why? What do I know? What do I know? What does an award mean? I read somewhere that awards are like a certain part of the human anatomy. Yeah, awards are like a certain part of the human anatomy. Everyone has one. So now what I'm getting at is you saw the scene with Vito Morgenstern inside the bathhouse where he goes, he's schwitzing, and the guy who brings him a Turk leaves, and then two Russian guys come in twice the size to kill him because of that, and he kills them somehow. You know it's impossible to have happened. But it was done almost fairly believable, let's say if you had enough good and plenty at that point where you were like flying on sugar, you could possibly believe it. It's entertainment. But it wasn't a bathhouse. They were naked. And it reminds me again of Congressman Massa in clip 7. Listen to this. It's shocking.
Let me tell you a story about Rahm Emanuel. I was a congressman in my first 8 weeks.
Then put a laugh track on it and go to break.
And I was in the congressional gym, and I went down and worked out. I went into the showers, and I'm sitting there showering, naked as a jaybird, and here comes Rahm Emanuel, not even with a towel wrapped around his tush, poking his finger in my chest, yelling at me because I wasn't going to vote for the president's budget. Do you know how awkward it is to have a political argument with a naked man?
You know, most of us have a little knowledge of Greek mythology, but Diogenes, if you say Diogenes and you haven't even a modicum of education, you remember this one. As he was known as a man who carried a lamp in the daytime, claiming to be looking for an honest man. So you say, oh, that's right, the myth of Diogenes. Oh, he was the one who carried a lamp in the daytime, claiming to be looking for an honest man. That's good for like a spelling bee. Let's say you just came from India and you're here 3 months and you're going to win. Other groups have been here 200 years, and they still can't win the spelling bee. But anyway, Indians are here 2 months, they win the spelling bee. So I guarantee if an Indian child's listening, they know right who Diogenes is. Diogenes of Sinope, Greek, was a Greek philosopher, one of the founders of Cynic philosophy. This guy could have been my ancestor. I could be a reincarnation of him. Known as Diogenes the Cynic, he was born in Sinope, modern-day Sinop, Turkey, in 412 or 404 B.C. and died in 323 B.C. That means he lived between 89 or 81 years of age. You have to do it backwards. It's complicated if you're B.C. I don't know about you, but every time I read someone like a writer, I always like to compare how long they live, painter. You know what I mean? Like, do it right away. You can do it straight up, you can do it, but it's backwards, it's hard with B.C. So I did the math, 81 or 89. All right. I don't know if I take that right now. Let's say God said you have a choice. You could take the natch, whatever comes, or I'll give you 81. I don't know if I would take that. You ever do that in your head? Like God said, you live to 81, or you don't know how long you're going to live. Would you take 81? Because my mother went to 88, my father died at 57, split the difference. I don't know. I really don't. It depends on health, quality of life. He was Diogenes was the only man to mock Alexander the Great and live. That I like. He intellectually humiliated Plato. I like that. And was the only pupil ever accepted by Antis and who? Oh, those Greek names of murder. Antisthenes, whom he saw as the true heir of Socrates. Diogenes taught his philosophy of cynicism to Crates, who taught it to Zeno, who fashioned it into the school of Stoicism. That you understand, one of the most enduring branches of Greek philosophy. Diogenes was always controversial. Exiled from his native city for defacing the currency, that's me, I had to leave New York, because I didn't like subway tokens, he moved to Athens and declared himself a cosmopolitan in flagrance of the prevailing city-state system. He became a disciple of Antisthenes and made a virtue of extreme poverty, not me. Famously begging for a living and sleeping in a large tub in the marketplace, again, not me. He became notorious for his provocative behavior and philosophical stunts, such as carrying a lamp in the daytime, claiming to be looking for an honest man. He regularly tangled with Plato, disputing his interpretation of Socrates, and sabotaging his lectures. After being captured by pirates and sold into slavery, Diogenes eventually settled in Corinth, where he was befriended by Alexander. The only Corinth I like is a Rolls Royce. Diogenes was a staunch admirer of Hercules. He believed that virtue was better revealed in action and not theory. His life was a relentless campaign. Listen, his life was a relentless campaign to debunk the social values and institutions of what he saw as a corrupt society. Boom. None of his many writings has... So there's a lot in Diogenes in me. Notorious and carrying a lamp in the daytime, claiming to be looking for an honest man. That's me, number one. And number two, he tried to debunk the social values institution, what he saw as a corrupt society. None of his many... Blah, blah, blah. None of his many writings have survived. You think my books, like Liberalism as a Mental Disorder, will survive 1,000 years? Wouldn't that be great? But I wouldn't know it, so what's the difference? People always say, well, I write for posterity. Why, schmuck? You going to know it? You ever figure that one out? You're going to leave it for posterity, and you're going to know it? Where are you going to be looking down? Aha, I told you. Hey, Milty, come here, look. That's my book they're carrying around.
9848. That's 1-800-447-9848.
of the Democratic Party have become exactly what they said they were running against. They have become exactly what we all ran against. You cannot effectively govern this country without the consent of the governed. The entire nation has said, let's rewrite the health care bill. Let's find what we can agree upon. No, 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 no. We're going to ram this down the throats of the American people, and anyone who stands in the way of doing that is going to be smeared, and they're going to be kicked out of Congress.
That is a Democrat, Eric Massa, who was forced to resign today as a result of a smear campaign by Rahm Emanuel, according to everyone who studied the issue. Now, I don't know what happened. What could he have done? He said something to a guy at a wedding? So what? So what? That's a reason to resign? Are you kidding me? If that's a reason to resign, then let's see what else is a reason to force someone out of government. Let's say you're a lawyer in Eric Holder's Justice Department, and you gave out the names of the CIA agents who did the interrogations of the worst vermin on the planet from Al-Qaeda. How about that? Would they be forced to resign? As far as I'm concerned, they should be lined up and they should be sent out of the country. Let's stop right there. So don't tell me about the politics of destruction. I'm a victim of the politics of destruction. And I'm pretty much sure it was done by the machine in Washington, how I got banned in Britain. So don't tell me about the politics of destruction, what they can do with your own words. So it's time to do to them with their words. That's all. Their words are pretty terrible when you think about it. Never mind tussling a guy's hair at a wedding. Big deal. I thought it's a person's private business what their sexual orientation was. Let's say the worst case. They're threatening to out him as being whatever, and that's a reason for him to resign. The very same people who say, lift, don't ask, don't tell. Now they're saying, we're going to out you unless you leave Congress because you're opposing the health care. How can the gay movement not accept? How can the gay movement not freak out over this? The double standard, it's frightening. It's a triple play, as a matter of fact. But I've done my part. Listen to clip 14, the same guy.
The American people have lost faith in this piece of legislation, and if we pass this bill using reconciliation, it will tear this country to pieces. It will rip this country asunder.
Really? I guess the only good Democrat is a Democrat that goose steps with Obama the imposter. Any Democrat who stands up to Obama the imposter is a bad Democrat. You know what I'm saying? So I think we've covered that. It's been on, the news. You won't see it on your regular evening news because he's a bad congressman. He's not a good Democrat. Only good Democrats are guys like Charles Schumer. He's a good Democrat, a loyalist. I got to go back to this. How in the world can Sean Penn support Hugo Chavez, a dictator? Anyone in the media who calls him a dictator, he said, should be jailed. How in the world can you not understand how dangerous this is to hear coming out of the mouth of a man who was granted two Academy Awards, not for his acting, but because both movies were politically, caponized movies. They were PC movies. They were politically caponized. I don't use the word politically correct. It's politically capon. You are political capon is how I phrase it. Look up capon. It's related to chickens. Like the Schechter brothers, either one coop or a half a coop. You can't buy the individual capon. You got to buy the coop, the whole coop, and nothing but the coop. No, that's for people who really follow the show closely. Then who the Schechter brothers is? That'll be on your final exam, boys and girls. Before the spring break, you're going to get an essay question: Who are the Schechter brothers, and what do they have to do with the price of capons in Hollywood? You have to listen to the show every day. It's like a cereal. If you miss anything, you miss. No, I really want to go back to posterity versus reincarnation. I'm going to take a call on that for a minute because I'm a man obsessed with mortality, and I have been since I'm a child. You know that I'm obsessed with mortality? Did you know that? I remember, the whole thing like, oh, my God, you got to leave your mark, blah, blah, blah. I didn't know why. I was obsessed with it. No one ever said to me, you have to leave, a mark. But I remember writing when I was 17 in my first journal, we are judged by what we leave, that kind of thing. And I set out to be like a writer. So now I've written 25 some odd books, done other good works. And what does it matter? I mean, it doesn't matter for posterity is what I'm saying. What does posterity matter? What, do you sit in a gold chair in the next world, look down and compare what you did with the other guy? Say, I told you I did good stuff. Look, they're reading it now. 1,000 years from now, you get to sit in eternity up there in a gold chair. It doesn't make sense. You don't do it for posterity. You do it because, you know, you want to prove something. You want to prove something. Anybody who creates something is doing it because they want to prove something. And don't listen to the rubbish. They're doing it for their own pleasure. Don't listen to that liberal crap. You ask any great artist. You ask a really great artist if you can get near them why they did it. They'll tell you because they wanted to prove something. That's why they did it. They did it because they wanted to prove they were a great artist. No other reason. They didn't do it for their own pleasure. They didn't do it to pursue their individual pleasure. The liberal, you know, credo of the 80s. You know, what shall I do, teacher? Well, do what you like best. You wind up a barrister in a coffee house. They get degrees in sociology and English literature. They come out, they get a job in a coffee house. They don't know why they can't be hired. What are they hire? You know, I'm not laughing at the kid. They wasted years in college. They were lied to. The parents basically hocked themselves to the neck for nothing. What's a bachelor's degree today? What was it in my day? Nothing. Nothing. A bachelor's degree in my day meant nothing. I knew I needed at least a master's degree and a really good one in order to make up for the lack of education on the undergraduate level. And by the way, the bachelor's degree that I got at Queens College is equal to a PhD today compared to what they do today. So, I mean, each step of the way, things get diluted down. We know that. Between affirmative action and granting admission to people who are not qualified, what is a college degree today at all when you add it up? What does it really matter? It's what you produce with the college degree that matters. Then you can be judged or evaluated or graded. And usually by yourself or your peers, there are no peers. If you're really in a class by yourself, there really are no peers, to be honest with you. You have to compare yourself with people who probably aren't even living, if you're really at a certain level, if you really want to know the truth. You have to compare yourself, let's say you're an artist. What living artist are you going to compare yourself with? Let's say you're an actor. Let's say you're an actor. Who are you going to compare yourself with? Who's like a great actor? Since the Oscars are in there. Who's a great actor? Who are you going to pay yourself with? How would you put yourself on a scale of what? You're going to pay yourself with Sean Penn? The guy's babbling like a lunatic every other day, doesn't know what he's saying? Supporting a dictator, saying you should be arrested if you criticize a dictator? That passes for acting today? That's not even acting. That's insanity. In my day, they would have taken him out in a straitjacket and put him in for treatment. New York, WOR, Ferris, welcome to the show. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Savage, I'd like to raise the awareness a little bit about reincarnation, but first I'd like to say two things. Your political capon thing is another stroke of genius, but this is a godsend.
Yeah, everyone should use that. Don't say politically correct or PC. Say politically caponized or you're a political capon. And you heard it from Michael Savage. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, and I do want to say that this Eric Mazza thing is a godsend for us because of the way this occurred, and they overreached, and they got too inbred with themselves, and they missed the boat.
Let me ask you about the Eric Mazza throwing him out. What are they implying, that he came on to a guy at a wedding, and for that reason he should leave Congress?
Well, here's what happened. He went to the wedding reception. He did what you and I have often done at wedding receptions. He had too much to drink. His buddy said, hey, you got to go over and, do what to that bridesmaid. And as you or I might even do, depending upon who the guys were at the table, you'd turn it around on him and say, well, you know what, maybe I should do that to you. And he bust up his hair and he gave him a hug. And the same thing you do when you have to.
How could that be used by Rahm Emanuel to make a guy resign, unless there's more there?
Well, that's my point. Emanuel has now become psychotic in this world of thugs and street criminals that now inhabit the White House.
But wait, how can they make a man quit Congress just for that innocent act if that is all they are saying is involved? My suggestion is that there's more involved. My suggestion is they have something else on him. So what could they have on him? What could they have on him? Tell me what you think it is.
Well, I know exactly what it is, and it's what they received from Hillary Clinton. You might remember that somebody talked about 900 FBI files. There were, in fact, 9,000 FBI files that she turned over, and they were stolen by a former bartender by the name of Craig Livingstone. Remember him?
Yes, I remember the whole sad story. Yes, I do. So what are you implying that they have on Congressman Mazza that forced him to resign today?
Well, the same thing they have on everybody. They have the FBI file. Do you have any idea what's in your FBI file, Savage?
Me?
Well, anybody, especially you, any high-profile individual.
Well, I have to admit that I did eat too much chicken soup as a child. There's no question about it. I may have overdosed on gefilte fish a few times. So what else can they have on me?
Well, they have this man's FBI file the same way they have everybody else's. And every time somebody acts like a eunuch down there and you don't know why he did it, it's because they have the files that Hillary Clinton turned over to the secular progressive left and the communists that run this country now.
I could believe that, but he's afraid of something coming out. Is that what this, you're saying they blackmailed him out of Congress?
Of course that's true, but now this man has an opportunity to be a Paul Revere or a George Washington, and I believe that he might take that opportunity. And that George Washington may be a stretch, but he could be a Paul Revere. I want to talk about
Revere. Let's start again. Eric Massa, who was forced to resign, is from upstate New York, from the Buffalo area. Is that correct?
Well, a little bit further east than that. I just talked to his Rochester, New York office today. He has a branch office in Pittsford, P-I-T-T-S-F-O-R-D, Pittsford, New York.
And how many years has he been in Congress?
I have nothing on that, Savage.
But why is he saying that this party of the Democrats has become exactly what they ran against? The health care bill is being rammed down the throats of the American people. Anyone gets in the way is going to be smeared and kicked out. Why is he so opposed to the health care bill?
Well, he's opposed to the health care bill because he has some character. You know, there are very few Democrats.
I don't know if that's true. I think we have some research telling us that he's unhappy with the health care bill because he wanted something more left-wing than what Obama has put forward. We have some evidence that he himself wanted the public option.
Well, aside from that, it was a no vote. That's the bottom line. It's very simple. It was a no vote.
But I think that what I'm saying is, watch out who you start to say is your ally here. It could turn out he could be your worst enemy. In other words, this guy, it could turn out that once you know more about him tomorrow, it could turn out they got rid of him because he was a holdout for the more extreme left-wing plan that the so-called radical left wants.
Yeah, but he's the enemy of my enemy is my friend, am I right? It's unsuitable.
Well, I don't know. I'm not from Arabia.
See, if it's a no vote...
To me, the enemy of my enemy is an... you know what? So what's on your mind about posterity versus reincarnation? Quickly.
Well, reincarnation should be studied through Cohen's book called The Path to Reincarnation. And I've listened to you for years struggle with the concept. And you have what it takes, according to Cohen, to study reincarnation. You must have two things, not either or. You must have both a very high degree of natural intelligence, and yours is off the charts. We all know that. And, not or, but and, B, you must have a large amount of post-secondary higher education to open your mind to be able to study reincarnation. But it's very simply this, that the soul is...
Hold it. You don't need either of those in order to believe in reincarnation because there are many uneducated, rather impoverished people on Earth with no education whatsoever who are not that intelligent who believe in it. I mean, you go to places like India, you've got millions and millions, hundreds of millions of people who believe in reincarnation. They have neither the education nor the other virtue that you suggested. But let's go past that. Tell me what you know about reincarnation that may help the American people.
I have to clarify, Savage, because I didn't say to believe in it. I said in order to study reincarnation.
You're right. I wanted to see if you were listening. I caught what you said, but I wanted to see if you were coming from the right place. Go ahead. You're right. You got me there. You did say that, and I heard you.
Yes. In order to study it, you must have both of those things.
Yes. You didn't say in order to believe in it. You said in order to study it. I caught that, but I wanted to see if you were as clear a thinker as I had hoped.
Well, what is you about you is not your skin and bones. Your skin and bones is worth $2.87 on the open market. Am I right?
By today, well, under Obama, I don't know. It could be worth less.
Well, what's you about you is your soul, and your soul is durable and lasting, and it is eternal. It cannot die. It can never die. Life is eternal.
So wait, hold on. So where was I? What was this soul before me?
Your soul was always your soul, and it inhabited a different human form before you. And when you
hold it, we've thought about that. Then why don't I know that?
Well, because the reincarnation process is cataclysmic. In other words, it's these flashbacks that you sometimes have. You must lose your recollection of it because your soul goes into the mind of a newborn, and that's why you have child prodigies. Do you ever see these 3.5-year-old?
I read Plato, so I understand how it works. But let me ask you something: if that is true, what's the good of it if you don't know who you were or who you're going to be? What's the point of it all?
it's neither good nor bad. It's just a simple fact of life. It doesn't have to
no,
be.
No, but what I mean is this. Let's say, here's what I'm saying. People say you're going to be punished if you're a bad person and come back as a bug or whatever, okay? But let's say, or you're going to, but if you don't know it, what's the difference? Let's say Sean Penn's going to come back as a cockroach in a crap house in Venezuela because of the behavior that he's enacted with all of his wealth and all of his power, how he hates this country and how he hates the truth. He's going to come back as a cockroach in an outhouse in a barracks in Venezuela. But he won't know he was Sean Penn before that.
I will send you Cohen's book. You cannot come back as a lower being. You must come back as a human. And you will come back as that human being that you had very low regard for in the prior life. In other words, let's say you had a problem with people who were purple. You would come back as a purple person. Get it?
A person who was what?
Let's say you had a problem with...
Oh, you mean somebody that I didn't like. I come back as them?
People, yeah.
Oh, God, no. I don't want to be God, that guy. God, I don't want to be him. So, in other words, the object here is to stop fighting with everybody because you're going to wind up being them eventually?
The justice is that you will come back in the form of that person who you had great disdain for. And if you have great disdain for no one, you will be just fine. You will come back as that same
person. So, in other words, that's the enlightenment. That's the enlightenment that many religious leaders have spoken about. So Jesus says, turn the other cheek. What he's saying is, otherwise you're going to come back as the person you hate.
When I hold this up to Catholic priests, they run from it. They run away.
Well, Christians don't believe in reincarnation, but the very essence of the statement, turn the other cheek, is very close to what you're saying.
Yeah, but it puts the funeral directors out of business. Don't you get it? There are no more funerals going into the church and no more checks written to the church. And the guys...
You got to stay on the phone. I love this. I don't even think you're real. I actually think that you're like from heaven talking to me through like a filling. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Before we go back to the caller, I have very little time. I know that among humans there are many kinds and many degrees of mentality. Some of us are wise, some are foolish, some are good-natured, some are bad-natured. Some are easily led, some are difficult to lead. Some have pure minds, some have dirty, defiled minds. But, you know, these differences are actually negligible when it comes to the end of your life, is what we're talking about. It's very much like a pond filled with many varieties of the plant. There are different plants, different colors, different tints. Some plants grow under the water, some spread their leaves on top of the water, some raise their leaves above the water. Mankind has many more differences, including the differences in sex. But at the end of the day, it does not matter who we are. It matters who God is in relationship to us. Ferris in New York, quickly go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Savage, it's been an honor to pay back to you a little bit for what I've learned from you, and I'd be happy to open your mind further.
I'm not closed to it. If you could prove to me that reincarnation exists, it would give me a lot of peace of mind. It means my life wasn't futile.
I can do that. And if you'd remember Ferris from Hartford coming through on WOR, I will email.
I do. Yes, I do. But Ferris, stay on the line. My guys will grab your email. We'll talk to each other. By the way, you talk about pedestrian things. Obama vilifies the insurance companies, right? They're the evil ones. They're no good. They're evil. Blah, blah, blah. But do you know that the government is going to give them $336 billion over the next 10 years to make sure everybody gets insured? Are you aware of that? Are you aware of the fact that if they pass this bill, do you understand that the insurance companies are going to get millions of new customers that are going to be required by law to buy insurance? And guess who's going to pay for it? You Schmendrick. $336 billion over the next 10 years will go where? Insurance companies. So it's all a scam. It's all a lie. And the Democrats are lying to you up, down, and this way to Sunday. Don't you understand? It's not about the insurance companies. It never was. Of course we want health care reform. Rein in the tort lawyers and stop giving health care to illegal aliens. That's about $1 trillion over 10 years at the least.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It's Blue Monday on the Savage Nation.
Oh, Tuesday, I'm so tired, got no time to play.
You know, what we talked about today is not only the Oscars, meaning the hatred of Hollywood for America, how they hate the military in particular, and how they gave the biggest award to a movie that naturally made fun of the troops who are taking down IEDs. And, of course, they couldn't get enough of that one. Then, of course, there was the shocker of the mentally deranged Sean Penn, the man who really, I think, in my opinion, belongs in an asylum, who not only last week said that he hopes the people who criticize him die screaming of rectal cancer, but on the same interview, actually a different interview, he goes on the other schmuck's show, whatever his name is, the Putz. And both of them, by the way, to me look like stoned out drug addicts, and I think that they are. If you actually listen to it, they joke about buying drugs wholesale from Venezuela in a joke. It was astounding. He goes on his jerk show on HBO, and he says anyone who doesn't understand Chavez, the dictator, in the media should be jailed. Did you hear this? He says every day that this elected leader, meaning this dictator, this murderous killer, Chavez is called a dictator. He said, we accept it. And this is mainstream media, said this man. And there should be a bar by which one goes to prison for these kinds of lies. I've never heard anything like that since Hitler. And Sean Penn and that jerk on HBO, in my opinion, in a sane nation, I'll stop right here. No, but the gangsterism of Hollywood ties in with the gangsterism of the Obama communist administration, where Rahm Emanuel put a smear campaign on Congressman Massa, unlike any I've ever seen, implying that he's gay, because he said something to a male staffer at a wedding? That's the reason for firing a U.S. congressman? I mean, this is beyond comprehension. This congressman said that Rahm Emanuel would sell his own mother. Sell his own mother. He's the son of the devil's spawn. He said he was showering naked as a jaybird. And here comes Rahm Emanuel, not even with a towel wrapped around his tush, pokes his finger in my chest, yelling at me. This is what's running America today. Well, we had a lot of his sound bites. You're just not going to believe this when you hear it, if you haven't already heard it, because it's worth hearing. So a couple of, things that you have to pay attention to. Did you ever get caught up in a government bureaucracy? Did you ever talk to a bureaucrat? You're going to waste your time and money. You want to bang your head through a glass wall. Going to the post office is like that. That's why I recommend that you go to one of my great advertisers, Stamps.com. Avoid the post office. Avoid the frustration. Avoid the bureaucrats. Use Stamps.com. So stop what you're doing right now. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Savage. That's Stamps.com. We also talk about sleep. What? Which ethnic group sleeps the best? Someone did a study on that one. I mean, that was amazing to me. I don't know what I did with that story already. I found it this morning after a very bad night's sleep. Oh, here it is. And I found out that each ethnic group sleeps differently. Most African Americans, they say, like to pray just before they sleep. White Americans like to sleep with their pets. And Asians, they say, sleep better than anybody. I don't know how they know this. National Sleep Foundation. Sounds like a mattress front group. Doesn't it? Sounds like a subversive mattress front group. 18% of Asians, one-third of whites, and just under half of Hispanics said they prayed before going to bed. 1 in 10 African Americans and Hispanics said they had sex every night, which is 10 times more than Asians. That means 0, and 2.5 times more than whites. How did they figure these things out? 85% of Asians said they had a good night's sleep at least a few nights or more a week, and most of them did it without sleep aids. Hispanics are the most likely to say they are kept awake by financial, employment, or personal relationship, or health-related concerns. I would say that most of them, I'm sorry to say, are probably worried about the ice coming to their door. If you're having trouble sleeping and you sleep with your spouse, your child, your pet, or all three, remember, that may be contributing to sleep disturbances that prevent you from getting a good night's sleep, said Sonia Somebody, chair of the National Mattress Force Task Force. All groups said they had missed work or family functions because they were just too tired. And among couples living together, all ethnic groups frequently reported being too tired for sex around a quarter of the time. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Sleep? With what's going on in Washington, who could sleep these days, right, Beowulf?
That's a good point. God, did they answer these questions honestly, I wonder? That's
I don't know, would you? I asked you how many times you had sex a week. Would you answer that?
I'm not sure I would.
I mean, what's their business?
Exactly.
Maybe they work for Acorn. Maybe the National Sleep Foundation is a front for Acorn, and they simply want to, you know, stick their nose in your mattress.
So to speak.
Now, Rahm Emanuel, you remember how they used to criticize Karl Rove? Remember how the media hated Karl Rove, criticized him, ripped him apart, called him everything under the sun? Remember that?
Oh,
how
yeah.
They smeared him? Well, Rahm Emanuel makes Karl Rove look like Snow White. If you look at what Congress and Massa has had to live with and how Emanuel, what Emanuel has done to him to throw him out because he won't support health care, and this is a Democrat. They've ruined Eric Massa's life, implying he's gay. And isn't it sickening, Beowulf, when the Democrats are so pro-gay to smear someone by saying, we'll out you for being coming on to a male staffer? Beowulf, do you see this? How dirty this is?
Yeah, it just shows that they have absolutely no convictions whatsoever, and they're purely concerned with power.
Well, we know that. I mean, but has it gotten ever been this dirty? Has this country ever fallen to this level?
Yeah.
Massa said that the incredible corruption of politics today is what makes him weep when he realizes that our country is being destroyed from within. And he said the leaders of the Democrat Party have become exactly what he had run against. And he said that the Dems want to ram the health care bill down the throats of the American people, and anyone gets in the way is going to be smeared and kicked out of Congress. Is it any wonder, huh? Is it any wonder that the people in this country are so up in arms? So I'll take your calls now, that's all. Norfolk, Virginia. LaVon, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Hi, my topic is, I am a black woman who is also a breed. I am Native American, African, and Irish. So I guess I can relate to Obama, but I can't stand Obama and his policies. His policies do not stand for Americans. His policy stands for people with their hand out. We are a country that's built on giving people a hand up, not a hand out.
And sounds to me like you've been to a few tea parties and you've been listening to talk radio for a while, LaVon.
My ex-boyfriend turned me on to talk radio, and I love it. And it opened my eyes to a lot of things. When I
talk radio, LaVon, talk radio is like a contact sport. It's like football. If it's done right, it's like football. Even when it's friendly, it's like a contact sport.
Right. And the thing was, I wasn't listening.
I mean, I feel I'm dancing with you right now.
You.
Nobody ever heard that come out of me before.
Listen,
no, I mean, when you get some callers, even though you're agreeing with each other, there's a certain energy that can come out of a person where it's like you're on a dance floor together, two energy forces in the hemisphere of space.
And we're working in sync.
And now we're getting close to the truth, but since this is a family show, LaVon, we have to cut it off at that. I'm sending you a free copy anyway of Band in Britain because the kids are listening and it's still daytime. All right. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welfare spending in the United States is much higher than most people may think, even though it is not something ever brought up by the mainstream media. Joining us now from the Heritage Foundation is Robert Rector with a look at this welfare mess.
Most people think that we ended welfare sometime back in the 1990s, and they don't understand that the U.S. has a massive hidden welfare state. When we reformed welfare back in the 1990s, only one out of 70 programs that aid poor people were actually reformed And even that reform has been killed off by Obama and the Democrats now. When you take all 71 of those programs together, and they provide cash, food, housing, and medical care for poor and low-income people, the truth comes out that we're spending $900 billion a year aiding poor people. It's now about 6% of our entire economy. But whereas people are aware that Medicare and Social Security are very large items because they're individually listed in the budget, you have to spend about, several months going through thousands of pages of federal budget documents to find all of these little programs, some of them very big, but all the programs that are designed to assist poor people. When you do that, you find that we have a massive transfer state in which we take hundreds of billions of dollars away from working people each year and transfer it largely to those that are not working. Since Lyndon Johnson began the war on poverty back in the 1960s, the United States has spent over $16 trillion on assistance to poor people. You could compare that with the total cost of all other wars in the U.S., which would come to around $6 trillion. So the war on poverty has cost us almost three times as much as all the other wars in U.S. history from the Revolutionary War up to the present time.
Unbelievable. You can't be serious.
That's the good news, because Obama feels that $16 trillion was far too little. And so one of the major emphases of his policy is to dramatically increase this spending and to dramatically spread the wealth from the middle class downward.
I'm sick of this.
When Bush left office, we were in the middle of a recession. This welfare spending, means-tested aid, was already at a record high, $700 billion. Obama has increased this by $100 billion each year. Last year, it went to $800 billion. This year, it's at $900 billion. By 2011, the United States, and these are from Obama's own budget figures, the United States will be spending over $1 trillion a year on aiding poor people. Now, that comes to about $25,000 for each poor person in the United States. $25,000, a lot of money. Now, to be fair, some of this money goes to people that are low income but not poor. Basically, this money is sort of spread out across maybe the bottom third of the U.S. population. So if you looked at it in that perspective, we're still spending about $10,000 for each person in the bottom third of the population, comes to about $40,000 a year for each family of four.
Why don't we hear about the welfare spending?
Now, no one has any idea that this spending is going on. Even Republicans in Congress, they're completely unaware of this, in part because it's hidden and spread out among these 71 different programs. There are over 10 different housing programs alone, for example. But another reason that it's not understood is that a lot of this money is the federal government requiring state governments to spend money in federal welfare programs. About a quarter of all this spending is in that way. But we have just a huge, huge system which the mainstream media pretends doesn't exist. They pretend that there's virtually no money being spent, when in fact the spending is completely out of control and getting larger each year. When Obama was running for the presidency, he complained a lot about the cost of the war in Iraq. He suggested that the war in Iraq was damaging our economy and that it couldn't possibly be sustained. But the reality is that Obama will spend substantially more on welfare in a single year than George Bush spent on the war in Iraq in his entire presidency. Obama complained that the war in Iraq cost the taxpayers about $100 a month per household. Well, by that standard, the war on poverty is now costing us $800 or $900 a month per household.
This is unbelievable to me.
Basically, this whole war, this $16 trillion war, has been a failure. When Lyndon Johnson launched the war on poverty, Johnson not a conservative, but he set out some fairly reasonable goals for it. He said that we're going to have the war on poverty not to address merely the symptoms of poverty, but its root causes as well. He didn't want to put massive numbers of people onto the dole. What he wanted to do was make them improve their capacity so that they could become prosperous by their own efforts, by their own work and investment. And by those standards, the war on poverty has not only failed, it has been a catastrophe.
Why is that?
Because the capacity for, say, the bottom quarter or third of the U.S. population to support itself has gone down dramatically over time.
Why?
One of the major causes of this is the complete collapse of marriage in low-income communities. When Johnson launched the war on poverty, about 7% of all children were born out of wedlock. Today, that number is 40%. The welfare state perpetuates non-work. It penalizes families that do marry, and it rewards single parenthood. And that's because the welfare state desires an increase in dependency because it makes the political class in Washington, D.C. stronger and more powerful. We are going bankrupt as a nation, and this huge expansion of the means-tested aid to the poor or the welfare state is a major part of that bankruptcy. But the mainstream media doesn't even acknowledge that this spending binge is going on. In order to return to solvency in this nation, we don't want to stop assisting poor people entirely, but we need to get this spending under control. And we should also insist that in the future, all spending that goes to people who are able-bodied, you should require that those able-bodied recipients either work or prepare for work as a condition for receiving aid. If you do that, the number of people who will seek assistance will go down dramatically. Finally, we ought to be doing steps to restore marriage in the inner city simply by talking in the first place to young people about how marriage can benefit them and how marriage can benefit the children that they plan to bring into the world. That would be very, very effective, wouldn't cost much of anything, but the liberal left regards that as politically incorrect. They thrive when marriage collapses, and therefore we will have no policy to strengthen marriage in the country today.
Robert Rector, thanks for the report and for being on the Savage Nation.
Well, thanks, Mike. It was great to be on your show.
I'll be right back. Joining us now with an exclusive update is Robert Scott Bell.
Thanks, Michael. Always good to be back with you in the Savage Nation audience. And this week, wow, what an incredible, actually, few weeks we've had since we first brought up here on the Savage Nation the Dietary Supplement Safety Act that was foisted upon the Senate by John McCain and Dorgan, the retiring Democratic senator. And there has been a groundswell, Michael, like nothing since, 1994, when the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act was passed. There were more people that responded that basically sent cards, letters, faxes, whatever they were back in 94 to Congress to stop the FDA's indiscriminate pulling of natural supplements from the access that the American people demanded. And that was stunning. And we haven't seen anything like that since then, except within the last few weeks. Suddenly, hundreds of thousands of letters, cards, emails, everything hammering McCain's office, hammering the Senate, going into the House of Representatives saying we cannot stomach this idea that the federal government is going to now create the ability for the FDA to just pull products off the market that they don't like, that may or may not even be harming anybody. And so this week we learn that McCain has backed down on his support for his own bill. That's right. He's got his tail between his legs. He's retreating. He never saw anything like this ever happen since he's been in the Senate. Didn't know what to make of it. At first, he went 2 weeks in. He was defending his bill. He said, hey, it's probably just a bunch of group of lobbyists, right? High-paid lobbyists. Never mind, McCain, that you took $300,000 from pharmaceutical lobbyists. I'd like to know, in Arizona, how many of your constituents actually make 300 G's a year?
Well, not a large percentage, I'm sure.
And that conflict is very real. We've brought up conflicts of interest. We've got to be aware of them because they often will end up being used against us to take away more of our freedoms. And so McCain's defended it, but he realized, oh my gosh, I've never seen anything like it. And now actually Senator Hatch wrote him a letter. And the concern now that I have, Michael, is that we don't back down. We've actually got him on the run. As I've said, this ties into the global government scheme to harmonize the laws of the United States so that they're just like everybody else's, the United Nations sanctioned Codex Alimentarius. And this would Europeanize, this McCain bill would have Europeanized the American regulation of dietary supplements, where they have only what they call a positive list. If the EU approves it, if it's not approved, it's off the market. We got enough problems with our economy. We don't need to be shutting down good, independent, family-run businesses providing natural supplements to the American people. And so that's another big victory among few that we've had here in beating back big government. And Obama's threat as well to now pull nuclear options or whatever we want to call it to foist the Obamacare on all of us. This idea that we've got to rework insurance so that it is mandated for everybody, of course, not at all in any way, shape, or form to cover the things that would actually provide good sustenance to our health, but would actually take away by providing the things that we have enough of, in fact, too much of. And here we have Obama saying, we've got to do it. All the conversation is over. It's all been said. And funny enough, there's a study that came out recently out of the University of Arizona. Is that interesting? In Tucson, McCain's home state, that said meaningful talk leads to happy life. It's amazing what kind of studies are funded sometimes. But there was a study that says, yeah, having meaningful conversation does a lot to make people happy. Wow. That's what I call a moment of duh. And of course, Obama's saying, nope, we can't have any more discussion, no talk. We don't need happy people. We need everybody on an SSRI medication. And of course, under this form of nationalized health care, they'll probably be throwing that in the water as well.
Well, it seems to me Obama's against anybody who takes care of themselves. They need Big Daddy.
Now, another thing I want to acknowledge here on the Savage Nation. In fact, Michael, you have nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. No other talk host is talking like you're talking about how we can stop this. Let's say disaster happens and the Democrats succeed in passing this unneeded, unwanted, and horrible legislation that would convert us into a completely nationalized, socialized type form of healthcare. The pseudo-free market, which we haven't had free markets for so long, they wouldn't recognize it if we had them. And you have nailed it down to the point where the biggest way, the best way, the most efficient way we can just stop it if it ever passes is the First Amendment, is the religious freedom angle. Because this violates so many principles of the First Amendment, of religious freedom, of spiritual freedom.
You like my idea?
I believe it's the only way that we could succeed at the end of the day until they acknowledge, oh, there's no longer a First Amendment. We goofed when we allowed that to ever be put into law, that First Amendment. So we need to continue with our awareness and your pushing of this issue and that item because it is the efficient way at the end of the day. You find out whatever religious clause you have. And I want to also expand this concept, Michael, to acknowledge that religious freedom is individual freedom. It's not a group right. Groups don't have rights. You get rights by virtue of your birth from that which created us all. And so the religious freedom aspect is your own personal belief system. You could have 99% of whatever congregation you belong to believing in something, you believe something else, and that is your personal religious belief, which has been acknowledged all the way up to the Supreme Court. And I'm surprised. Well, no, I'm not, Michael. No one else catches on to this stuff. I mean, you are plugged in so well into understanding these issues. And we need to, again, continue to awaken the American public that just about everything has become a violation of our religious freedom. Every time the federal government encroaches upon our right to life, liberty, and property.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And, you know, I like to, you know, educate the young folks, our next generation. I've got kids, Michael, and, you know, read to them the good books that are out there talking about the origins of our country in freedom. And one of the books I love is Richard Mayberry wrote an excellent book, Whatever Happened to Justice, right? It's a great question. Whatever happened to justice? And he boiled all these systems of government and even the religious beliefs and such down to a couple of laws that he found were common to just about all of them. And it boiled down to two simple things. Do all you have agreed to do and do not encroach on other persons or their property. Imagine if we just did those two things, how simple life would be. And that was the basis for the common law, which is now, as you've acknowledged too, everything's under commercial law. The commerce clause, like somehow there's this new rule, this web has been descended upon us and common law doesn't exist. Common sense doesn't exist. And so we understand, do all you have agreed to do. That's the basis for contract law. The ability of two consenting adults to enter into an agreement. I can see a doctor, and that doctor can bring to me treatments that even the government doesn't like.
Well, like what?
The freedom, for instance, to heal cancer without chemotherapy, radiation, or surgery. I mean, people are thrown in jail, doctors and non-doctors alike, simply for helping others to get well without medical government-sanctioned interventions. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't care if you believe in oncology or not. We should defend our neighbor's freedom to choose a path that is uniquely their own, as long as it violates nobody else's rights. And I can't see how not taking mandated insurance violates the rights of anybody else. And then they argue, well, no, they're going to end up in the emergency room and we're all going to pay for it. Well, that's because we have a welfare state. And I know that hospitals, of course, work out deals even with the poorest among us to find ways to pay it back over time. There used to be a lot more charity hospitals at the time when government wasn't so overly involved with anything and everything related to healthcare, which, again, disease management. We've got to call it what it is because we don't do Orwell speak here on the Savage Nation.
No, we don't.
So once again, the religious freedom angle, brilliant, Michael, and I appreciate that you're bringing that out, and you keep it up. I know you will. I know you will, of course. And so we've got the McCain, the DSSA on the run, but we can't give it up because right now, as we see, the biggest threat to global government, as it has been since its inception, is the United States of America, the one country founded on the concept that the individual should be free to live a life, religious freedom and other freedoms, as long as they violated no one else's rights. And that the people were sovereign, the states created the federal government, and it was that simple. But now we've got an overgrown bureaucracy from Washington, D.C. that is trampling freedoms right, left, and center, and you've got fully half or more of the elected representatives endorsing and engaging and endorsing an even stronger monopoly on directing the lives of Americans. Here again, the big issue, the so-called health care debate, where everything's been said, according to Obama. Clearly, they're not listening yet to what you're saying, what I'm saying here, that we should be free to care for our health the way we believe, and that less government would be the way to restore order to the universe, the healthcare universe, in fact. And I also hear this even from Republicans who say, well, you know, I like liberty, I like freedom, but no, the free market and medicine, no, it can't work. I don't believe that can work. You've got these so-called conservatives that actually, they believe this.
Unbelievable.
Not acknowledging, like we know, that there hasn't been a free market in healthcare in 50, 60 or more years. You know, the ability to care for each other, to help each other out. There's so much information flying through the web. Of course, some good, some bad. But do we not have the freedom to make these choices and to even screw up? I mean, this is the thing. They want to protect you from screwing up. But of course, in doing so, you're placed into a prison cell. And I think, you know, as I said before on the show here, the Democrats believe that, you know, not only should you be in a so-called healthcare prison cell, but you should be chained to a bureaucrat. The improvement on the Republican side is that they still want you in that prison cell, but they don't want you to be chained to the bureaucrat. Whereas very few of us are out here arguing for real reform, which is to restore health and healing to the health and healing industry. And that, of course, comes from the freedom to choose, the freedom to innovate, the natural methods that have been around for thousands of years that our ancestors knew about, bring them back out. Let them compete in a true free market and see how those that are the poorest among us now have access to things that will actually reinvigorate them, restore vitality, remove the toxic poisons. I mean, grandma knew about dandelion, right? We sit here, spray all these toxic pesticides, kill the dandelion in our yard where we could be eating it in salad, making it into a tea and having our liver and kidneys clean. Imagine that. A botanical that can help us. Oh, but that's not approved by the FDA, so they can't say anything like that.
Just further proof that liberals do not want people to empower themselves with natural medicine.
That's not freedom. That is why the growth of the Tea Party is so interesting, why the liberty movement is growing, and why, more than anything else, those that believe in health, healing, and health freedom have beaten back John McCain and the Dietary Supplement Safety Act in record time.
Well, thanks for the report, Robert. Where can we read more?
Thanks again, Michael. Always good to be with you on the Savage Nation. Remember, check out the blog for all the links on these stories and more at robertscottbell.blogspot.com.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
And now, the Savage Nation Hollywood Idiot of the Day.
The crazed Sean Penn has opened up his crazed mouth again. This time, the crazed Sean Penn has actually said people who call Hugo Chavez a dictator should be put in prison.
Every day, this elected leader is called a dictator here. And we just accept it and accept it. And this is mainstream media who should truly, there should be a bar by which one goes to prison for these kinds of lies.
This comes in the tales of him wishing a slow death to his critics.
Does it make you angry when people talk about, you know, Sean Penn, the Hollywood star, the movie star, coming in and trying to do something and they're kind of cynical about it?
No, it's just in this, I guess I've been so away from it all in our tent camp in Haiti that I haven't had an awful lot of time to pay attention to them. Do I hope that those people die screaming of rectal cancer? Yeah. You know, but I'm not going to spend a lot of energy on it.
And here's Bob Streisand at the Oscars, trying to make the Oscars about race and sex. Well, when you're over the hill, what else is on your mind?
From among the five gifted nominees tonight, the winner could be, for the first time, a woman. Or it could be, also for the first time, an African American. And the winner is, well, the time has come. Catherine Bigelow!
And over the weekend, Rep. Eric Massa told the world the truth about Rahm Emanuel.
Well, he has more than a dirty mouth. He has Rahm Emanuel is son of the devil spawn. He is an individual who would sell his mother to get a vote. He would strap his children to a front end of a steam locomotive. And if he doesn't like that, he can come after me personally.
But that wasn't the half of it.
Let me tell you a story about Rahm Emanuel. I was a congressman in my first 8 weeks, and I was in the congressional gym, and I went down and worked out. I went into the showers, and I'm sitting there showering, naked as a jaybird, and here comes Rahm Emanuel, not even with a towel wrapped around his tush, poking his finger in my chest, yelling at me because I wasn't going to vote for the president's budget. Do you know how awkward it is to have a political argument with a naked man?
It seems to me that Massa is one of the few Democrats that actually loves his country, but he's gone.
At the heart of everything we face in this country today, at the heart of the destruction of our democracy, at the heart of our inability to solve our problems, at the heart of the inability for us to actually pass to the next generation of Americans something greater than we received from our parents, is the incredible corruption of money in politics today. It makes me weep when I realize our nation is being destroyed from within. I was set up for this from the very, very beginning. If you think that somehow they didn't come after me to get rid of me because my vote is a deciding vote in the health care bill, then ladies and gentlemen, you live today in a world that is so innocent as to not to understand what's going on in Washington, D.C.
He knows that Obama's socialized medicine plan is destroying the nation.
The American people have lost faith in this piece of legislation, and if we pass this bill using reconciliation, it will tear this country to pieces. It will rip this country asunder.
Let's go on to michaelsavage.com and see what's made it to my website thus far. I haven't looked at it. I've been posting stories all day, but I haven't looked at it. Justice Department under Holder rife with traitors. Really? Why is that my headline on Michael Savage? Because several attorneys who provided legal advice to Al-Qaeda terrorists and other terrorists, they leaked to the media and to Democrat operatives the names of CIA interrogators of enemy combatants. Would you believe this, Beowulf? They actually put out the names of CIA interrogators? If that's not the enemy within, if that's not treason under Eric Holder, I'd like to know what is. Anti-military movie wins big award at anti-American Oscars. You know it's an anti-American movie when Barbara Streisand, the seltzer bottle with hair, is preening the woman of the small budget hit that won the best movie. If Babs Streisand approves of it, you know it's an American-hating movie. That's for sure. George Soros and pals loot $11 trillion from the United States Treasury, according to Zuby Diamond, author of the new book, Wizards of Wall Street. And he says the agenda of George Soros and other short sellers is clear: to loot America and any foreign country that invests in America. That's his opinion. It's on Michael Savage. NATO handcuff rules allow terrorists to laugh at our troops. The rules of engagement are the most restrictive ever seen for a war of this nature. NATO forces cannot fire on Taliban terrorists unless they are visible, armed, and posing a threat. Can you believe this? All on Michael Savage. You have to read Geert Wilders' speech to the House of Lords in the British Parliament. He said the left wing in Europe is facilitating Islamization. It's no different here. And here's what Geert Wilders said. He said, I always make a clear distinction between the people, the Muslims, and the ideology, Islam. There are many moderate Muslims, but there is no such thing as a moderate Islam. Al-Qaeda calls on Muslims to follow Brother Nidal's Fordhood example and to kill other soldiers in cold blood. You hear this? Also on Michael Savage, not to be missed. Let's go to the bottom. Time is very short right now. Gang of Muslims shoot SF man they thought was gay. Did that make it to your local paper, Beowulf?
No, I didn't see it.
Three Muslim cousins from Haywood have been charged in San Francisco with a hate crime and assault for allegedly firing a BB rifle at the face of a man they believe was gay. Didn't even make it to the Chronicle. Oh, it did. Didn't see that story, did you, though? Didn't make it to your local paper. Then, of course, you can't miss this one. Save the elephants. If anyone who looks at the bottom of my website, Michael Savage, and sees the little baby Asian elephant born at the Melbourne Zoo, and they see her raising her trunk and smiling after a naming ceremony performed by Buddhist monks, it's so heartbreaking. I just don't know how you could look at this and not want to kill anyone who hurts an elephant. Cut their tusks off, not to the elephant's tusk. Incidentally, everyone go to Michael Savage. You got to see what's going on. Savage now on 860 in San Francisco twice a day. I'm on not only regular time, but 6 to 9 in the morning drive time. They rerun the day before a show, Beowulf. And they said Savage plus Savage, a double play.
Wonderful. Twice the Savage.
Twice the Savage for half the price.
Savage.